Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 11th day of March 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. We'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons facility near Logansport, Indiana. That's the Clymers ethanol plant. And we'll take a look at the weather forecast, too. It's a gorgeous afternoon in the 60-degree range under sunny skies here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Drew Lerner will tell us how many more days we'll have like this before we change again as we make our way through late winter and into early springtime here in the Midwest on this Wednesday afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's take a look now at the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. On this Wednesday afternoon, futures were a penny and three quarters higher in the nearby March contract for corn at $3.84. The May at $3.91, up three, and July at $3.98.5, up two and three quarters. September corn on the day, two and a half higher at $4.05.75. December at $4.14.25, up two, and next year's March corn at $4.23.25, up one and three quarters for the day. Soy complex bean futures now nearby March at $3.84, up one and three quarters. May at $3.91, up three. July $3.98.5, up two and three quarters. And December corn at $4.14.25, up two. She didn't change over on me, did she? Well, let's try that again, and we'll see whether we can come up with the electronic trade for the soybeans. And I simply don't want to come up. We'll come back to those a bit later. Live cattle futures, $155.85, or $1.10 higher. June at $147.25, or up 77.5 cents. And August at $144.52.5, up 45 for the day. That in the live cattle. Feeder cattle at $215.60, or $3.37.5 higher. April at $214.37.5, or $3.87.5 higher. And the lean hogs on the day at $63.62.5, down $2.35. That, of course, in Chicago. Now, let's see if we can find the trade in Chicago for the rest of the grains. That's still not available. We'll check out those numbers as soon as we can. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Now let's check the numbers from Chicago for the soybeans. Nearby contract for the March at $9.89, up 9 cents for the day. May at $9.92.75, 8 1/4 higher, in July at $9.97, 7 3/4 higher. November beans at $9.71.5, up 6 1/4 on the day. Bean meal for the day at $3.45.70, up 3.70. Bean oil on the afternoon finished at $30.97. That was 13 cents higher. The outside markets show the crude oil now down 7.5 cents at $48.22.5 in the nearby contract. That for the crude oil, the heating oil on the day at $1.82.7, a penny and 3 cents higher, and diesel fuel, which is the heating oil, again, at a penny and 0.3 cents higher. Gasoline on the RBOB at $1.82.8, 0.9 cents higher. Natural gas for the day, 9 8 cents higher, $2.83. And ethanol futures from Chicago at $1.49.1, that on their settlement price, up 2.5 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands just about 24 points higher at 17,690, and the dollar at 98.615. Well, that one's unchanged on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area today. On our way to sunny skies, a high of 30 degrees, or rather 60 degrees for the day, on a north-northeast wind at 6 to 8. Tonight, clear and a low of 34. Tomorrow, sunny and 59, mostly cloudy on Thursday night, and a low of 42. Friday, likely some rain. That after 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Central Time. That's cloudy skies and 54 degrees. East winds at about 7 miles.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Jackie Vakes is on the phone line to take a look at the marketplace and what happened after yesterday's USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand estimates came into the marketplace. And then, of course, the overnight trade and the trade that ensued throughout the day today. Hi, Jackie. How are you?
Well, I'm pretty good. Well, Almost recovered from yesterday's Ag Outlook in Indiana.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming over to the Ag Outlook at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. For those that are wondering, we are working pretty feverishly to get that audio ready. Some of the video, too, to go back up on the website. There are a couple of things that we need to do before we do that. And frankly, we like to hold off just a little bit because, well, a lot of folks came over to the program and we'd like to give them a chance to digest it as well. So we're working on those numbers. You can check it out on our website at willag.org. As the week goes by, one of the things you mentioned that had not been discussed very much yesterday during the show was bird flu, and you'd like to talk a little bit about that today. Is it in the United States? Is it in other nations? What kinds of things are we talking about with bird flu, and what impact do you think it will have?
Well, at the moment, I think it's somewhat of a subdued impact, and yet it's in the background, I believe. You know, up until now, we've only seen it in Washington, Idaho, and Oregon. And in the last 3 weeks now, it showed up in Minnesota. Yesterday at the meeting, I said it was in Missouri, and this morning they announced it's in Arkansas. And so this is very concerning. You know, this is on a flyway, basically, is what it is. And so if we continue to see this spread, it is going to get, I believe it's going to get to be more serious. Now, they've got to try and get it under control. We'll see once if they can control it, and yet it's showing up in more places all the time. And that's, you know, we know that ultimately, you know, they tell us it doesn't get into the food chain, which is a good thing. You know, we know that that's really a good thing. But it's still all about perception. And perception in a market like we're in right now is extremely important because we need to be using corn. There's no question about that in poultry. Digest and use a lot of corn. And I think it's just so interesting. All these years we haven't had this. What changed, you know, to bring them this much further down into the United States? You know, I don't know what they were doing. If they're just, I just really don't know. But I'm concerned about it. And I think we need to, you know, we need to keep that in the back of our minds as we're thinking about managing risk.
All right, so that would be one end user of corn in the United States. And then, of course, you have China, which is an end user of soybeans, one of the other primary exports from the U.S. and certainly agricultural exports. How are they doing economically? I know that in the United States we're about to end quantitative easing, but we heard that definition and a couple of those words bounced around more than once yesterday at the All Day Ag Outlook, too.
Yes, and then this morning you looked at the economic news coming out of China, and it would indicate that, again, the Chinese government's going to have to step up and infuse some capital into their marketplace in order to keep it balanced. And then you add to that, Todd, the fact that, you know, back in 2011 they supported the corn and the bean price and the wheat price primarily because of the fact that they want an orderly movement into the cities. They were afraid that if the price dropped on corn and beans, they would see too many of their farmers flee to the cities and leave the country, and that's blown up in their face because of the fact, you know, we've got a lower price right now. So we here in the U.S. have to say thank you, thank you, thank you, because of their importers, their manufacturers, they're buying our beans because they're too expensive to buy from the local people in China, and this is beginning to become a burden to the country, not only from a supply side standpoint out in the countryside, but from a cost to the government. And so we don't know when, we don't know if they'll do it, but they're really talking about doing things like transition payments like we used to have and getting rid of the support prices. And, you know, if this huge amount of grain that's sitting in their countryside would come to marketplace at some point in time to the manufacturer, it could dramatically impact us in terms of our sales and beans. And I think the other thing that we have to be thinking about, we talked about it yesterday too, we actually saw 99.97 as a high on March dollar today. You know, this is the highest that we've been in the last 12 years. And, you know, when we saw that big sell-off last week, after being up 64 cents in the May contract the month before, so far for this month, we're down 39. And I think you can directly relate that to selling coming out of South America. These guys are either being pressured to sell or they just plain have to sell. You know, they do not have a good environment when it comes to storage. And Dr. Cordonier has said many times, 13% storage, 13% silver on our terms is all that they have in the countryside in Brazil. And so I think we're going to see this flip-flop, and you're going to see that the dollar is just more important than people are giving it credit for. There are things happening underneath here, and it will catch up with us in one way or another at some point in time.
How do you suppose that might happen?
Yeah. I think. Go ahead.
How will it happen?
Well, I think it'll be very slowly, and it will trickle in from the standpoint that we will continue to see more planting in South America. That's a double side. We'll see less corn planting, more bean planting. Because the higher the U.S. dollar goes, the more they get paid in their local currency, okay? And so it certainly encourages foreign economies to continue to expand, and beans would be the one for them probably that would be the most profitable versus corn. And so I think on one side, it helps us on the corn market because it reduces the competition that we've developed over the years for corn. On the opposite side, it really increases the competition when it comes to the bean side of things. I think we definitely need to recognize that that's there. On the other side, we can get to a point where we find ourselves outpriced in the world market, and that could be on the corn side too. You know, hitting this almost 100 today is concerning. 102 is a 62% retracement. You and I have talked about it many times on the radio, of the big move down from the 121.29 down to the 70.80.5. We get above the 62% retracement, I think it's screaming in our faces at how bad the world economies are right now. These are guys coming in here and they're buying the dollar to protect themselves because they do not have the confidence in their economies. What do we depend on for everything when it comes to, you know, yes, we have domestic demand for all different things that we manufacture, but we still need export demand.
That,
no question.
121.29, by the way, high was back in July of 2001, so a long, long time ago now. Things that are coming up, grain stocks reports are at the end of this month, along with the prospective plantings numbers.
That's right. That's right. And I think that that's going to be something that I don't put a lot of credence into the March report, even though we have to because it is a driver of the market. I think that when you look at the fact that they're surveying already the beginning of the month and the shifts that we've seen in the price structure between corn and beans, and depending upon where you are, and then you add the yield exclusion to it. Like I said yesterday, one of our clients in Kansas, they're picking up 50 bushel to the acre in their county, and that's a huge change. So it pencils in. I tell you, I have the utmost respect for the U.S. farmer and his ability to sit down, take a pencil, and figure out what is going to be best for them. And I think this is a difficult year. You have guys talking about dropping crop insurance. You've got guys talking about so many different things. And yet, you know, today we get some support out of the idea that Ukraine's fertilizer prices went up 45%. You know, we really didn't go up on our fertilizer prices, but if you contrast them to the value of corn this year, compared to last year, we did, right? I mean, as a percentage of inputs. And so there's just so many things that are going on out there in the background, Todd. And the grain stocks report, I'll be anxiously waiting to see that because, to me, the grain stocks report is everything. Because what it does is it tells us usage, and that's what we need to know. You know, we saw them lower ethanol usage by 50 million bushels yesterday on that report and increase exports and feed usage. You know, I guess I couldn't agree with them more. I think that that was a prudent step. It only makes sense in the environment that we're in. But that is the key to me, as far as I'm concerned. The rest of these reports all revolve, as far as I'm concerned, about grain usage because about the grain stocks, because it's an actual reflection of usage instead of the guesses that we're always making all the time. And so that could be the turning point. Now, you couple that with whatever the acreage comes in for corn or beans. I mean, I saw somebody, I guess the CBO came out yesterday while we were at the meeting and said 86 million beans and 89.4 million corn acres. That's 175.4 million acres. I don't see the price incentive for that in this particular circumstance. But, you know, I guess we'll have to wait and see, right? And yeah. The bottom line, Todd, is it's yield. Yield still is everything in contrast to, you know, acres.
All right. Hey, we'll talk again next week about it all. Thanks so much.
Okay. Thank you.
That's Bye-bye. Jackie Vague. She's with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Now let's catch up on the Ag News with your Director of Ag Programming, Dave Dickey.
The American Farm Bureau Federation is calling for the Environmental Protection Agency to leave the National Ambient Air Quality Standard in place for fear that stricter regulation would hurt agriculture. A letter to EPA Administrator Gina McCarthy calls for the agency to keep the current standard of 75 parts per billion for ozone-depleting precursors. EPA has proposed tightening the standard. A lower standard could force the ethanol and biodiesel industries to install new technology to reduce volatile organic compounds and nitrous oxide emissions during biofuel production. The AFBF adds that agriculture also will be indirectly impacted by costs passed on to the consumer from special requirements for vehicles and fuels, restrictive permitting requirements that affect plant expansions, and the loss of federal highway and transit funding. A panel of outside researchers declared in a draft report they found no evidence of current animal abuse or mistreatment at a USDA animal and meat research facility in Nebraska. The report examined current practices at USDA's Meat Animal Research Center outside of Clay Center, Nebraska, following allegations in the New York Times of animal abuse at the facility. But the report did not specifically address allegations made by the New York Times article. The Times piece cited email from researchers and a whistleblower to question deaths at the facility involving research on lamb calving and sow breeding. A USDA official speaking on background said the USDA Office of Inspector General is investigating the specific allegations raised in the New York Times article. China's Legislative National People's Congress is deliberating amendments to a 15-year-old seed law focused on strengthening intellectual property protection for the seed crop industry. Chinese officials say that China's intellectual property protections for the development of seed crops are too weak. Meanwhile, foreign seed companies have criticized rampant piracy in China's largely closed crop seed sector, which Beijing is trying to develop in an effort to match global competition. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Hoping you visit our website this week. Of course, we had the All-Day Ag Outlook, the big one over at the Beef House. That was yesterday in Covington, Indiana. We've been busy putting those programs back together to put them up on the web. You'll see them at willag.org, I think, before the weekend. The other thing you'll find there, of course, is our calendar. You'll have to look for the link to the calendar. A couple of events that are still upcoming. Next Monday, that is March the 16th, I'll be in Mahomet at the Farm Credit Illinois building for an evening event that starts at 6:30 with a presentation by ag economist and commodity market specialist here on campus, John Newton. This will be your first chance probably to see John in action, a great chance to do that at the Farm Credit Illinois building on the 16th of March. Starts at 6:30. Then at 7 o'clock, Merrill Crowley will be there along with Bill Gentry and Dwayne Nelson to go through our Will
Ag Market Panel. Should be a fantastic evening. I hope that you'll come. It's open and free to everyone. Starts at 6:30, right on the nose, with John Newton making a presentation about the marketplace, and then we'll follow that up with Merrill Crowley, Bill Gentry, and Dwayne Nelson. We'll be near Springfield at the Farm Credit Illinois building on Old Tipton School Road there in Sherman on the 31st of March. That's the prospective plantings date. I'll be there along with Jackie Vakes and Mike Zuzlo. Should be a really good evening to take a really deep dive into those numbers, both the grain stocks and prospective plantings acreage figures that come out from USDA earlier in the day on the 31st day of March. That's in Sherman, and it too will be open to everyone. I believe that one starts at 7, but make sure you check our website at willag.org, willag.org, to catch up on all the latest information. Now, up next, you know, last week, the United States Ag Coalition for Cuba made the first business trip to the country since the president announced it was okay to normalize trade relations with that nation. Angela Besh reports she is a member of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Montgomery County, Illinois, Farm Bureau Young Leader Thomas Martin was part of the Ag Coalition that traveled to Cuba last week. This was Martin's second trip to Cuba, and he said there was a noticeable difference in speaking with Cuban officials since the December 17th announcement.
They were much more open with us on this trip than they were in the past, more willing to discuss some of their struggles. People on the street are more willing to talk. There's just so much more optimism that finally we're seeing some progress in U.S.-Cuban relations.
Some of the changes that have been happening in Cuba are more tangible. Martin says Cuban farmers have had more freedom when it comes to selling their crops in recent years.
We've seen a change actually in the countryside. One thing that's different than it was maybe 20 years ago is we see a lot more cooperatives being formed where farmers are being given use of the land and being able to sell any excess that doesn't have to go already into government quotas. That excess can actually be sold in a free market.
Despite this freedom in selling their product, Martin says he still saw some primitive farming methods being utilized by Cuban farmers.
I had the opportunity to visit a tobacco farm in the province of Pinar del Rio, and what was stunning to me, we saw a lot of oxen being used. It's hard to say that they're necessarily a part of modern agriculture when we still see draft animals being used. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for technology to be exchanged, some equipment to be exchanged between our nations.
Martin firmly believes that the exchange of Cuban and American goods will be beneficial to both countries and says this year's focus for Cubans and Americans hoping to see trade open up is getting the embargo lifted, leading to easier avenues for both trade and trips to Cuba.
My hope is if I have that opportunity for a third visit, it'll be post-embargo, and I'm hoping that might be as soon as the end of the year.
Again, that was Montgomery County, Illinois, Farm Bureau Young Leader Thomas Martin. Reporting, I'm Angela Besh.
Our thanks go to farm broadcaster and member of NAFB, Angela Besh. She is from WSMI out of Litchfield, Illinois. The Closing Market Report, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's check now on this Wednesday afternoon the agricultural cash grain market with the Anderson's Climbers facility near Logansport, Indiana. We're joined by Alex Reed. Thanks, Alex. I bet farmers and everybody else in the area are glad to see 50 and 60 degree temperatures and some sunshine, although that means the roads and the fields will be a little too sloppy, I would suspect, to move anything around.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Definitely picking up this week with the warmer weather. This morning we had some pretty bad fog, so things started off pretty slow. But a lot of guys happy to get out, get moving. But like you said, the roads are getting a little muddy, a little wet. So hopefully it doesn't slow things down too much.
I take it you're still bringing corn into the plant today?
Yes, sir, we are. Talking about some weekend hours as well, just so guys can take advantage of the warm weather and continue to move and continue to get things out of the bins, especially with the slight rally in the market today. Just guys taking advantage of it and getting things rolling.
Oh, so you have some new sales then, I take it, that you'll be bringing into the Clymers ethanol plant.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we're doing a good job. Just like I said, a lot of guys, they still have a lot of corn to sell. A lot of guys are still holding on to it. And we keep pushing because we need it. You know, as an ethanol plant, we need a certain amount every day. So we do what we can to get new sales and to get more corn rolling.
Well, what does your bid look for it like for the day?
Right now at Clymers, our cash corn would be $3.91 and beans at Delphi would be $9.93.
All right. Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Yep. Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Alex Reed. He is at the Andersons facility located in Logansport, Indiana. That's their Clymers ethanol plant. You can listen to him again on our website at willag.org. The address there is willag.org. This is the closing market report. Now let's check the weather forecast with Drew Lerner.
Weather conditions across the Midwest are expected to continue to be mostly on the warm side of normal as we go forward through this next couple of weeks. The odds are very high that we're going to experience a continuation of rainy weather in southern parts of the region. The rain that's going to occur across the south is most likely Thursday into Saturday, and during that period of time, we'll see anywhere from 3/4 of an inch to 2 inches of rain occur across parts of the Ohio River Basin. Right now, the outlook is suggestive that we're going to also see temperatures turning much warmer in the southwestern portions of the Corn Belt as we go through these next few days, with temperatures in the 60s and 70s becoming widespread. The 70-degree temperatures will be in Nebraska, South Dakota, Kansas, maybe western Missouri, and it will likely create an environment that's going to raise soil temperatures across those areas, although I don't think there will be much winter wheat development. The rain that's going to occur in the lower Midwest is also going to extend down into parts of the Tennessee River Basin, the lower Mississippi River Basin, and parts of the southeastern states. The precipitation that occurs in these areas will likely be great enough to cause some pooling of excess moisture, and some local flooding will likely occur. There's a risk that some of the winter wheat crop in those low-lying areas could be smothered and lost, but it shouldn't happen in too many locations. This rainy event that's coming up is expected to be gone by Saturday afternoon, with a lot of the precipitation Saturday expected to be very light and limited to the eastern and lower parts of the Midwest. Almost all of the northern and western Corn Belt will be left dry or mostly dry through a big part of this forecast period. And the temperatures in the northern portions of the region will likely run in the 30s and 40s quite often as we move forward through this next several day period. There will be some potential for temperatures to turn a little bit warmer as we get into next week across some of those areas. But at the same time, with that said, there's going to be a succession of a couple of cool air masses that will drop across the Midwest that should put a limit on the amount of warming that occurs in those northern Midwest locations. In the lower parts of the Midwest, we'll see a few days where temperatures will get into the lower 60s. Those will occur as we get to the end of this week and into the weekend. But with all the rain and cloudiness that will likely occur in those areas, it'll be very difficult to get much warmer than that, and it'll be very difficult to even get over 60 degrees in some cases. The low temperatures at night are expected to run mostly 20s and 30s across the northern Midwest and probably 30s and 40s across the south. And as I mentioned before, the warmest weather in the western Corn Belt is likely to prevail as we go on into the weekend, but we'll likely see a little bit of a breakdown in some of the heat, and temperatures will probably fall back into the 50s and 60s for highs towards the early part of next week. Down in South America, the weather continues to be quite favorable, with Brazil's summer crop harvest advancing around shower and thunderstorm activity. Most of the precipitation recently has not been as heavy as that of late February, and the field progress has advanced relatively well. As of last report, we saw that the field progress nationwide was actually 1% ahead of the 5-year average, which is a rather amazing feat for as wet as it had been. Mato Grosso is behind in its harvest progress, however, and it looks like the forecast for Brazil is for more rain to fall in center west and center south crop areas as we move forward through this next 5 to 7 days. And Argentina, meanwhile, will see a drier bias, with temperatures likely to be above average. There will be some rain that will fall in southern Argentina, but most of that precipitation is not likely to be great enough to turn around the drying tendency for most of that country. Crop stress is not very likely because it has been so wet in Argentina. Most crops will actually benefit from the drier and warmer bias.
Our thanks, of course, go to Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. That wraps up this edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason.